Welcome to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are off and running on a Sunday morning. Good morning. I almost said good afternoon. I'm not going to let the day get away from me already. Good morning, everyone. I'm Tim Murray, live from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Busy day ahead. And you know, it's that time of year where we like to do countdowns. We like to remind you of how far we are away from certain particular sporting events. Yesterday, it was 56 days from week zero of the college football season. How about 70? 10 weeks away from the first full slate of regular season NFL football. You could smell it. You could feel it. It's getting closer. Training camps will be here before we know it. Our VSiN NFL betting guide is coming out on Tuesday. So we are getting ever closer, ladies and gentlemen, to the start of the football season. We got NBA free agency starting on later tonight, even though the expectation is for not to be that rambunctious, at least from the free agency. Could we see some trades? That certainly is a possibility. But we also got plenty of baseball to get to. We got golf. We got soccer. We got a whole lot to get to here on a Sunday morning into the afternoon. This show will go into the afternoon for all of you on the East Coast. So let's get it rolling here as we like to do here on the VSiN Weekend Morning Line. As you want to know, we've got a busy day ahead. Plenty unfolded last night. We'll unpack that here in just a little bit. But let's start the way that we always start the show. Let's get you ready for the day.
Let's dive into the biggest games of the day.
Well, we've been talking about it. The scores are low in Detroit, Michigan, as we get ready for the final round of the Rocket Classic in Detroit later on this afternoon. The final round is already underway, but we won't see the leaders until the 1 o'clock Eastern hour. And heading into the final round, Aldrich Pottgeter, who had tied the course record on Thursday with a 62. The course record was then broken again on Friday by Jake Knapp shooting a 61. Pottgeter yesterday went out and he shot a 65. Pottgeter, a very young golfer from South Africa, turned pro just a couple years ago. No wins on the PGA Tour, lost in a playoff in the Mexican Open earlier this year. And right now he's a 3-1 favorite to win the Rocket Classic in Detroit. And as he is preparing for his first opportunity to really bring home a win as a professional.
Yeah, it's quite different as an Emmy playing in a big event as well. The leaderboard's so stacked. So when you're looking at amateur golf, a lot of guys are up there, but there might be two or three guys within two or three shots. Here there's six or seven. The guys are just really good out here. So it's going to play different tomorrow with that wind. So we'll just have to go try and do the best we can and hit the golf shot in front of us.
Tomorrow is now today, and Pottgeter will get out there in the 1 o'clock Eastern hour to get rolling here at 155. A 65 yesterday for Pottgeter. He is 19 under, leads the field by two strokes. But as he alluded to in that clip right there, he's got a host of golfers just two strokes back. So we'll see if he's able to hold on to that lead, as we have seen all weekend long that the scores are remarkably low. Pottgeter at 3-1 to win the Rocket Classic, minus 225 to finish top five. Jake Knapp, who broke the course record on Friday, solid performance yesterday as well. He sits at plus 750. He was 28-1 yesterday when we were here on the program. Colin Morikawa, the most notable name on the odds board. He sits right now at, let me double check that. I had it in my head. There it is. He is plus 1,400, so 14-1 as Colin Morikawa is four strokes back. He will get going at 2 o'clock Eastern time. So a whole hour, 1 o'clock Eastern time. So the Rocket Classic final round already underway, but once again, won't see the leaders until later on this afternoon. Later on tonight in Minneapolis, we will get the quarterfinals of the Gold Cup. And early on in the day, it'll be Canada and Guatemala. The United States, after running through their group going undefeated, they get Costa Rica tonight. They are around a minus 185 favorite to win in regulation. The United States trying to advance on to the semis tonight as they take on Costa Rica.
Gold Cup in general, everybody's here to compete. It's never going to be easy. And I think for us, we're just focusing on what we can control and what we're best at, and to go and do what we got to do. Obviously, it's going to be tough. There's going to be challenges flying, a lot of intensity, a lot of screaming and voices, and hard work on both sides. So we're just going to try to do our best to do what we can control.
That was Patrick Adjiman there, as he and the United States, as you can see right there on the screen, a minus 175 favorite at DraftKings over our shoulders here at Circa. -$1.85 are the United States as they take on Costa Rica. We'll get a preview of this coming up with former member of Team USA, Dax McCarty. He will join us in less than a half an hour as the United States and Costa Rica, that game will get going at 7 p.m. Eastern time in Minneapolis. Prior to that, it'll be Canada and Guatemala. The two winners will face each other in the semifinals later on this week. Busy slate of baseball, as it always is on a Sunday. And the most notable game to me, Sunday Night Baseball. It's a big spread, but we do get to see Tarik Skubal on the hill for the Detroit Tigers, as the Tigers right now a massive favorite against the Minnesota Twins for Sunday Night Baseball. Saw the note that they are standing room only here tonight at Comerica Park as the Tigers and Twins get ready for business. Skubal right now around a minus 135 favorite to win the American League Cy Young for a second consecutive year. Interesting note here regarding Skubal and his strikeout prop. His strikeout prop at DraftKings is 7.5 juiced over. And what's interesting to note about that is Skubal, last time out, he did eclipse that. He struck out 8 batters in a win over the Oakland A's, over the A's. But prior to that, against Pittsburgh, Baltimore, the Cubs, and the Royals, he did not get north of 7.5 strikeouts. So it feels like 7.5, probably the proper number on Skubal's strikeout prop. Had 8 in his last start against the A's, but prior to that, 6 against the Pirates, 6 against the Orioles, 6 against the Cubs, and 7 against the Royals. So we'll see if Skubal is out there dealing once again. But as for his performances lately, he's been tremendous. If you just go back to his complete game shutout, which was an absolute gem on May 25th against the Cleveland Guardians. Since then, that was a 13 strikeout performance, no runs against the Royals, 1 run against the Cubs, no runs against the Orioles. He gave up 2 against the Pirates in a victory, 9-2 as the Tigers won that. And the A's also, that was a victory for the Detroit Tigers. So Tarik Skubal on the hill tonight. They are the biggest favorite on the board today in Major League Baseball as they sit right now heading into that game at some shops as high as minus 280. I saw a $3 price out there earlier in the morning. Also a big favorite today, the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll get to, on the other side, what we saw yet again at Yankee Stadium. Speaking of big favorites, the Yankees were massive favorites yesterday, and they got shut out. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, we saw an under in the New York Yankees game. That is now 16 straight unders in Yankee games. We'll get to that. We'll hear from Aaron Boone on the other side. But last night, the A's blanking the Yankees 7-0 as sizable underdogs, as you can see right there. This afternoon at Yankee Stadium with Marcus Stroman on the hill, Yankees around a minus 210 favorite. Luis Severino goes for the Oakland A's. Total has been bet up. Is this finally the time we see an over come home in a Yankees game? Does the streak come to a close today as it has hit in 16 straight games? We'll talk some Wimbledon today. Yesterday we had Drew Dinsick on the program. Today, Zachary Cohen. He already wrote up his preview, his best bets over on vsin.com. Wimbledon will get going early Monday morning over there in London. Carlos Alcaraz will have his first round match starting at 8:30 Eastern time, as he is your two-time defending champ. Let's hear from the champ as he's back over at the All England Club.
Yeah, it feels great to be back here in Wimbledon as the defending champion. I think it's really beautiful, you know, thinking about what happened last year, and I'm just really excited about it. Start the tournament, excited about playing my first match on Monday, and let's see how it will go.
Alcaraz, of course, as we reminisced yesterday, had the epic victory over Yannick Sinner in the French Open final just last month. He is a 5-time Grand Slam winner already, Carlos Alcaraz is, and he's won Wimbledon in back-to-back years. Last year, he won it in straight sets, the final, that is, over Novak Djokovic. He's your betting favorite to win Wimbledon, sits at plus 120. Yannick Sinner, 2-1. Novak Djokovic sits at plus plus 650. Easy for me to say. How do we bet Wimbledon? Once again, Zachary Cohen will join us in the second hour of the program, and we'll get his thoughts and his best bets as he had a couple of nice tickets in pocket for the French Open just last month. All right, we are up and running here. It is the VSiN Weekend Morning Line as we have now set the scene. Biggest events today. Let's set the scene as for our guest today to get you ready for the program. As mentioned, Dax McCarty, he is going to join us. He's an MLS and soccer analyst for Apple TV, also former member of Team USA. What does he think about the Americans today as they take on Costa Rica later on tonight? My good friend Adnan Virk from MLB Network will jump on the program later on this hour. Zach Cohen, our own Zach Cohen on the NBA as we get ready for NBA free agency, as well as Wimbledon. How did the books fare last night as it was chalky in UFC 317? Thomas Gable in the final hour, and always good to check in with our friend Todd Furman, as we'll kind of bounce all over the place with Todd Furman, host of the Bet the Board podcast and analyst from CBS Sports HQ. So a busy show ahead for you today. Let's get some winners. 70 days away from the start of the NFL season, and I started to think about it, and we'll hit on this a little bit later on in the show. As we get ready for Circa Survivor, last year was absolute carnage. 95% of the pool was gone by week three. Take a look at week one if there's anything that jumps out to us. We'll do that later on in the show, but we're up and running. Before we take two steps forward, let's take a step back. About last night, we'll do that next right here on the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
You're tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
Keep it rolling here on a Sunday morning. Get you ready for USA versus Costa Rica tonight. Quarterfinals of the Gold Cup. USA around a minus 185 favorite to win in 90 minutes. We'll talk to Dax McCarty coming up in less than 15 minutes. Get you ready for the baseball slate today with Adnan Virk of the MLB Network later on this hour as well. But what we like to do here on the program, we set the scene to start the show, what to expect today. But it is early. It's early for us here in Vegas. It's maybe early for you there on the East Coast or wherever you may be. So before we go all the way into Sunday's activities, we'd like to take a quick step back. And, you know, when we have a UFC fight, especially here in our town, we like to look back at it. It was a late night, especially if you were on the East Coast. And your main event was a title fight, Charles Oliveira against Ilia Topuria. And boy, what an impressive performance. Topuria went off minus 420 here at Circa. And what was interesting is that the total for this fight, the rounds, went off 1.5 juiced over. We saw over money come in to the market. At one point yesterday, it was minus $1.25 to the over. It closed minus 180. Well, the steam was not accurate as Topuria knocked out Oliveira in the first round. Another knockout for him. The champ, he continues to keep rolling.
It's amazing. It's difficult to explain with a simple words. Like beat guys like Walt, Max Holloway, Charles Oliveira. Not many people in the world can say that.
Three straight knockouts for Topuria. Knocks him out in the first round, 2 minutes and 27 seconds in. His last three wins, all coming via KO. Oliveira, Holloway, and Volkanovski. And he claims the lightweight championship last night. He was, for a time being, had both belts, but the lightweight champion at 155 for Topuria. We'll see. A little pushing and shoving with Paddy Pimblett as he came into the octagon late last night to maybe drive up the juice for a possibility of that match later on. But Topuria now 17-0. And boy, if you were just parlaying the favorites yesterday, whether it's Topuria to Pantoja, if you wanted to throw in Jake Paul, I think that was around plus 105, plus 110, depending on what book you were at. You're not going to get it much easier than that because Jake Paul was a very, very easy win. It did go to the cards. But let's go to Pantoja, because he was great against Kai Car of France, as he went off as a minus 260 favorite. Total was 4.5. That one cashes to the under, minus $1.55. So Pantoja, once again, he keeps his crown. He defends his title yet again, and he was excited to do it here in Las Vegas.
That's amazing, fighting in Las Vegas, you know, that atmosphere, you know, fighting here in T-Mobile. I think every fighter fight here think the same thing, you know, that the Coliseum. I feel that's the new gladiator, the new generation of the gladiators, you know. In here, we have the best arena for that, you know. T-Mobile Arena look the new Coliseum, you know, the same goal, the same thing, you know. The crowd is so good. Yesterday to the Wayne's, that's full arena, you know. That's like you have a fight here.
That was his fourth straight title defense of the flyweight championship since he won it back in 2023. Wins via submission in the third round last night. So as mentioned, you can cash the under. So both the main and the co-main were unders yesterday. I would say the best fight of the night was Josh Van against Brandon Royval. That was phenomenal. Went to the distance, went to the cards. Van gets the win, and we'll see if he is going to fight Pantoja next. But that was a great fight last night. But a fun card, needless to say, their UFC 317 last night, as the favorites do come home. And we'll see what is up next for Topuria, if it is indeed going to be Paddy Pimblett. I was talking to one of our crew members here, Andrew, big UFC guy, said, I don't know if Paddy Pimblett's ready for that yet. So we'll see if that is the ultimate fight that we do get. Let's get to baseball yesterday. Already mentioned it once, and we get it again. If you're just rolling with these unders, keep on cashing them. Now, if you parlayed the Yankees to the under, that didn't work out all that well. The Yankees yesterday, with Clark Schmidt on the hill, went off as around a minus 280 favorite at some shops. And we're showing right here as high as minus $3 at DraftKings. Well, the A's won 7-0, but another under comes home. The Yankees bats, they are certainly hit or miss right now, and Aaron Boone talked about it yesterday afternoon following the Yankees 7-0 loss to the Athletics.
Just a couple guys going through it right now. Look, I think that 2.5 weeks is a lot different. We had the week, you know, where we got really blanked a lot, and then I thought probably about 5 days in a row, even at some of the Angel games into the Baltimore series, where I thought we were back to, man, really heavy at bats, taxing the starting pitcher, got some good results, some games where we didn't totally break through. So I really thought we were starting to do that. And then, you know, last 2 days been shut down a little bit more than we'd like.
When you look back to this streak of 16 straight unders for the New York Yankees, it goes all the way back to June 11th, a 6-3 win. Oddly enough, Clark Schmidt, who got the loss yesterday, he was the starter. But boy, you look at some games, handful of shutouts at the hands of the Boston Red Sox, the Angels. The bats have been very up or down there for the New York Yankees, but this run of unders continues. We talked about it briefly yesterday. It is the longest run we've seen. I believe the stat that Evan Abrams pointed out, whether it was an over or under run since 2016. So it keeps on cashing, and it cashes yesterday afternoon as well, as the Yankees get blanked there at Yankee Stadium, and we'll see if they bounce back as well. We did see Shohei Ohtani get stretched out a little bit more yesterday. The first two starts since coming back from Tommy John surgery, he went an inning yesterday, gets stretched out a little bit more. The Dodgers do ultimately fall to the Kansas City Royals. 9-5 was the score, but Shohei Ohtani did throw two scoreless innings yesterday. And I think the one thing that popped out to most folks was the fact that that radar gun hit 102 at one point yesterday afternoon. So two scoreless innings for Shohei Ohtani. He does go under that strikeout prop. It was heavily juiced to the over on 1.5. We weren't sure how deep he would go. Well, you got plus money on the under there for Shohei Ohtani. So far through his first three starts since returning from Tommy John surgery, 4 innings, 1 run, 3 hits. He struck out 3 so far through his first 3 starts. His first start back on June 16th against San Diego, that's the start where he gave up a run, to the Padres, struck out two against the Nationals in a scoreless first, and then yesterday it was two scoreless innings, but ultimately the Kansas City Royals did get the win there over the Los Angeles Dodgers. So yesterday we did see some dogs barking, not necessarily in UFC or in the ring with Jake Paul, but a couple of dogs were barking yesterday, none bigger than the A's, as they were the biggest dog to come home, as they were around plus 240 or so. You could find them out there as you looked across the betting market. We did see an extra inning victory yesterday as well, as the Rangers get the walk-off win at home against the Seattle Mariners, as you saw a little bit of money come in on those Texas Rangers at closing time there. So busy day yesterday across Major League Baseball, a couple of dogs certainly barking, but exciting to see Shohei Ohtani back on the hill and pitching hopefully as well as we anticipate. So as we get ready for today here on the VSiN Weekend Morning Line, as mentioned, we got the Gold Cup coming up later on tonight as Team USA will take on Costa Rica as a minus 185 favorite here at Circa. We will get you a preview of that with Dax McCarty coming up on the bottom of the hour. Adnan Virk later on this hour, as we get a Tarek Skubal appearance later on this evening, as Skubal, right now your odds-on favorite to win the American League Cy Young. He will take the hill. Excited to talk to our good friend Zach Cohen in hour number two as we get ready for NBA free agency. Yesterday, we had a good conversation with Chris Miles of NBA TV when we talked about the NBA Rookie of the Year market. Curious to get Zach's thoughts, because Zach does a great job analyzing the NBA draft. We're going to discuss about the potential fits out there. Curious of his mindset on who could be someone to look at in that NBA Rookie of the Year market if you remove Cooper Flagg. Cooper Flagg right now, as you would imagine, pretty significant favorite as around minus 185 or so. Trey Johnson, 10-1. That's what me and Chris Miles were looking at yesterday. So we'll see if that is the guy that Zach Cohen is looking at, or maybe he is just going to lay the chalk with Cooper Flagg. So a whole lot going on here today. And just a reminder, folks, as we do have another busy day of baseball ahead of us, ProfitX is offering the best odds all baseball season long. ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states, the first of its kind in the U.S. You'll be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than against sports books. Exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. So download ProfitX today and make sure to use the code VSIN, V-S-I-N, and earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. USA and Costa Rica later tonight, quarterfinals of the Gold Cup. We'll get you a preview next right here on the VSIN Weekend Morning Line.
VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
We keep it rolling here on a Sunday morning. I'm Tim Murray, live from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Final round of the Rocket Classic. That'll get going with the leaders later on this afternoon. Busy day of baseball, of course, full slate. We'll talk to Adnan Virk of MLB Network coming up in less than 15 minutes. But tonight, we will get a glimpse at USA national soccer team in the quarterfinals of the Gold Cup in Minneapolis. It'll be a 7 Eastern start time there. Both games will be taking place in Minneapolis. First up, it'll be Canada and Guatemala. And to help us break it down, former member of Team USA as well as MLS stalwart, it is Dax McCarty who joins us right now, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. And Dax, when we look at what we should expect tonight, USA and Costa Rica, the last time I believe that these two countries were going up against each other from a competitive standpoint, not a friendly, it was Costa Rica that got the best of the United States. So how do you look at this one tonight? How does the U.S. match up with Costa Rica as they head into this one as a decent-sized favorite to win this quarterfinal?
Yeah, Costa Rica is always a very difficult opponent for the U.S. men's national team. There's no way to put it. The U.S. has been dominant at home for the most part over the last couple of meetings against Costa Rica, but they're always a challenge. And the U.S. men's national team has played much better in this Gold Cup, obviously, than the lead up to the tournament. I was actually in Nashville for the friendly against Switzerland, where the U.S. men's national team lost 4-0. And I think it's fair to ask some questions about the U.S. men's national team right now, but they've answered some of those questions in terms of the results going their way in the group stage, some better performances. It hasn't been perfect, but we've had a couple players step up into bigger, more prominent roles and really, in my opinion, cement their status amongst the A team in Mauricio Pochettino's eyes.
So right now, as mentioned, USA, depending on where you look, around a minus 180, minus 185 favorite to win tonight in regulation. For it to be a draw, it would be plus 290. And then for Costa Rica to pull it off in regulation, around north of $5 if you look at Costa Rica. So, Dax, when you think back to what we saw in group play, 3-0 for the Americans, outscoring opponents 7-1, how tested were they in those three group play games?
Well, they certainly weren't tested in the first game against Trinidad and Tobago. That was a very nice opening fixture for the U.S. men's national team just to get some confidence back. You got guys that scored some goals. You had some good play, some great creative build-up play. Really a nice get-right game for the U.S. men's national team. And then it got significantly tougher, right, against Saudi Arabia and against Haiti, who posed a pretty big threat for Mauricio Pochettino's men. But that's good for the U.S. men's national team to be in games that are going to be challenging. And for people that think that the Gold Cup is easy, or for people that think that some of these smaller countries haven't improved and gotten better, well, you're just mistaken. Some of these smaller countries, like Haiti, have gotten much better, partially thanks to MLS giving some of their players a platform to go and improve and get better, but also partially in part to Mauricio Pochettino making a couple changes, figuring out which players he can rely on. Chris Richards has had an absolutely tremendous Gold Cup. He's emerged as, for me, the best center back in the U.S. men's national team pool, a written in pen starter if the World Cup started today. And also Malik Tillman. Malik Tillman, who it's been reported is on the verge of a transfer to one of the biggest clubs in Germany, in Bayer Leverkusen. He's had a coming out party at this Gold Cup. He's been the breakout attacking star. And so the U.S. men's national team has found some answers in this Gold Cup. It's not going to be easy against Costa Rica, but they absolutely are the favorite, and I expect them to win the game tonight.
So when you look at the total, Dax, it is sitting at 2.5 goals here. How have you looked at the United States defense? What do you expect from Costa Rica offensively? And is this, in your eyes, expected to be a lower scoring affair tonight in Minneapolis?
Yeah, I would say that certainly lower scoring for Costa Rica, because the U.S. men's national team backline has been very solid up until this point in the competition. You have Chris Richards and Tim Ream, who have formed a pretty stable partnership at center back. Tim Ream, the old dog, the old veteran, is still going. Mauricio Pochettino values his leadership and values his passing out of the back. The U.S. has only conceded one goal in three games in this Gold Cup. And if you remember back against Haiti, it was actually a mistake from goalkeeper Matt Friis trying to play out of the back, which led to that goal. So, you know, Mauricio Pochettino has a pretty stable back line. Chris Richards, Tim Ream, Alex Freeman have all played really well. John Tolkien came in and played left back, got a nice assist to Patrick Adjiman in the game against Haiti. So I would say that stability has been the key. It's great to have Tyler Adams back at the base of that midfield. He provides you ground coverage, winning duels, an all-action, all-energy type of captain that Tyler Adams is. And then in the attack, Patrick Adjiman, listen, a lot of fans, I see kind of people talk about him in a very negative way, and it kind of boggles my mind because, yeah, Patrick Adjiman, he's frustrated me at times throughout the Gold Cup. He's very unpolished in terms of his hold-up play, in terms of his touch. His movement off the ball can be cleaned up a little bit, but he is a handful for opposition center backs. So I've been really happy with his progression throughout this Gold Cup. He's proven to Mauricio Pochettino that he deserves to be on the field in these big knockout games in the Gold Cup. But be wary of Alonso Martinez on the other side with Costa Rica. He's having a wonderful season in MLS right now. He's extremely fast, great pace, loves to run in behind the U.S. men's national team backline. if he gets in 1v1 opportunities with Tim Ream, who's just a little bit older and not quite as fast as he used to be, look for Costa Rica to try to exploit the U.S. men's national team in transition.
Former member of USA men's national team, Dax McCarty, joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive guest line, now doing work with Apple TV, MLS 360, and MLS Season Pass. So if chalk holds tonight, Dax, the two heavy favorites, Canada and the United States, both playing in Minneapolis, Canada up first against Guatemala. Looking ahead, USA-Canada, how do you see that matchup playing out?
Well, both teams have to get there first. And as we saw last night, the favorite, Panama, you know, actually losing to Honduras, anything can happen. But I do agree with you, Tim. I think that both the U.S. men's national team and the Canadian men's national team get the job done tonight in Minneapolis. Both of them, I believe, will win and set up a really juicy, mouthwatering semifinal in a very big game. Canada, they're the new top dogs in CONCACAF, in my opinion. They've got most of their strongest team at this Gold Cup. Obviously, you're missing Alphonso Davies, who's got a bad knee injury, who's in recovery mode right now. But the story will be on the sidelines with Mauricio Pochettino coming in, a lot of criticism going his way in terms of the results of the U.S. men's national team in his tenure so far. And then Jesse Marsh, you know, a former MLS, you know, American men's national team assistant coach coming in, the drama surrounding him and his pursuit of wanting to be the U.S. men's national team coach and it not working out. He's very pleased and he's been very vocal about how proud he is to be coaching this Canadian men's national team. And you can believe that the Canadian men's national team will be ready for this game. I would expect fireworks in the semifinal if it happens, but make no mistake about it. Canada would be the favorite in that game. They have proven it in the past that they are in better form right now. They've got, in my opinion, the best striker in CONCACAF at the moment in Jonathan David, who is an elite player in world football. So don't get confused. This game would mean a lot for both countries, for the confidence of both countries. This is almost a dress rehearsal, if you will, about what's going to happen in terms of the knockout rounds in the World Cup, right? And so Canada under Jesse Marsh, while I'm singing their praises, they've been very good. They still need a signature win. They need to win a trophy to kind of validate every good thing that Jesse has brought to this Canadian men's national team. So this would be a heavyweight matchup, which would be very, very exciting to see.
Dax, really appreciate it. Enjoy the games today.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys for having me.
There he is, Dax McCarty. Appreciate him jumping on the program. Former member of USA Men's National Team, an MLS All-Star, now doing work with Apple TV as he breaks down the MLS. Should be a fun day this afternoon, 4 o'clock, Canada and Guatemala. Canada right now, a massive favorite, minus 750 to advance, minus 360 to win in regulation. And USA Costa Rica, a little bit shorter on the price, minus $1.85 for USA to win in regulation, minus $4 at DraftKings to advance. And as Dax alluded to, that would be a fun semifinal to watch on Wednesday night in St. Louis. Right now, if you're looking at the odds board, Mexico, because they've already advanced on to the semifinal, your favorite at plus 120, USA plus 220, and then Dax certainly seems to believe that Canada might be the right side at 4-1 to win this whole thing. Hey, folks, if you're serious about winning football this season, the VSiN NFL Betting Guide is going to be your real edge. Comes out this Tuesday. It is jam-packed of information. Kick off your season with confidence and get full access to everything VSiN has to offer for just $175. Let's talk some baseball with Adnan Virk next.
You're tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
Yes, indeed. We keep it rolling here on a Sunday morning, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. As we look over our shoulder, that board all lit up. I'll give you an update on Circus Survivor as we are 70 days away from our first full slate of NFL football. We'll do some of that coming up top of the hour, but we're in the midst of it, baby. We're in the thick of it when it comes to Major League Baseball, and I can think of no one better to talk to about the MLB than a gentleman you'll see later today on MLB Network. The one and only Adnan Virk joins us courtesy of our Progressive guest line. And, you know, Adnan, yesterday we see the Yankees get blanked by the A's, and this has been a stretch. And we played a clip of Aaron Boone earlier in the show talking about the lineup, and he didn't seem to be too worried. But right now you look at the standings, they're only a half game clear of the Tampa Bay Rays. The Blue Jays are only three games back. How concerning should it be that this offense, and something that we've talked about quite a bit, right, Adnan, from a betting standpoint, the under is now hit in 16 straight Yankee games. So this is an offense that seems to be just lacking that juice a little bit. How concerning is it right now with the Yankees' current play?
Well, that's a crazy stat. I didn't realize that under 16 straight. I love Aaron Boone, of course, an old buddy from ESPN, our time at Baseball Tonight. He's a great manager, and he always stays level-headed. But I think even he realizes right now this is concerning because the Rays have the best record in baseball going back to May 20th. And that's not just their offense led by guys like Yandy Diaz and Jonathan Aranda and Junior Caminero and Brandon Lau, but also their pitching staff, which has been the best since that time. So, you know, obviously you count the entire season, but they've figured it out and they're like a locomotive right now. And then the Yankees, the good news for them is they did get off to a really good start. I think better than most would have anticipated. And their starting rotation has been a real strength for them. Fried, Rodon, Schmidt, Warren, those guys have really stepped up. And Stroman's coming back today. But you're right about the offense, Tim. I mean, when you look at it, you say, all right, Aaron Judge is obviously a stud. He's going to win his third MVP, but he's slowed down considerably. You know, he's now hitting, it sounds funny to say below 360, but he was floating with 400 for much of the year. Yeah. So when your batting average drops by 40 points, that's significant. Goldschmidt's had a really good comeback here, you know, hitting over 300. Josh Chisholm's been really good since coming back off the IL. But after that, they're really streaky. Austin Wells has been disappointing. Volpe, I think, has been disappointing. Bellinger's been okay. So there's really no Jason Dominguez is a disappointment. So, like, there's the guys, like, you know, they'll run into a pitch here and there. They'll smoke it. But they're not reliably consistent. Meantime, Gleyber Torres, their second baseman a year ago, he's going to make the All-Star team as a starting second baseman for the American League. Like, he's had a great year for the Tigers. Has really cut down on his chase percentage, and his walk rate's been better. So, yeah, I think it's frustrating because especially this Yankees team is so dependent, Tim, on the home run. If they don't hit home runs, they're not going to win games. And I think right now that's the problem is they don't manufacture runs. They just have to hope that they connect with some of these balls. That 7-0 loss, pretty ugly in the Bronx.
Adnan Virk joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. Busy day, as it always is on a Sunday. He'll be on MLB Network later on today. And tonight, the nightcap, the Sunday night baseball, it will be Detroit as a massive favorite there with Tarik Skubal on the hill. So he's right now the slight favorite to win AL Cy Young for a second consecutive year. He's been phenomenal. They're, you know, back at it against the Twins tonight. They're the best team in the AL right now from a record standpoint, Adnan. Are you all in on this Tigers team, or are there some concerns when you look at them if they want to get to where they ultimately want to get, which is the World Series?
No, they're legit, Tim. Like, whether or not they get to the World Series remains to be seen. As we know, the sport of baseball can be a real crapshoot when it comes to playoffs, but they are built to win. They have been, again, better than anticipated. I think most thought, hey, the Central's kind of wide open. It'll be one of the Tigers or the Twins or the Guardians, the Royals. It's the Detroit's just beating up everybody. When you're 20 games above 500, you're a legit great team. And in the, you know, 125-year history of the Tigers, they've never had a team win 105 games. That's what they're on pace for right now. That's amazing to think about. Detroit's a great baseball city. We know how much they just love sports in general. Pistons and Bad Boys, the Red Wings and Hockey Town, the Lions, despite all their futility, they love that team. But the Tigers have been there forever. I mean, there's over a century of Tigers baseball going back to the days of, you know, 68 and Mickey Lolich and obviously Ty Cobb way back in the day. So those fans are thirsting for their first World Series since 1984. And you mentioned Skubal. He's probably the best pitcher in baseball right now. He's going to win a second Cy Young, barring a catastrophe. He's just mean and nasty out there and throws all of his pitches for strikes and is just so effective and overpowering. You know, added to that, Flaherty's been really good for them. Casey Mize has had a wonderful bounce-back season. He's a former number one pick. He's had to overcome injuries. So a year ago, it was Skubal in their bullpen. Now they've actually got other starters to supplement Tarik. And then you get to their offense. Riley Green has been tremendous for them. Spencer Torkelson, a great comeback player. Again, former number one overall pick, struck out way too much. He's figured it out. Javi Baez is hitting 290. Stunningly, he's got a war over two after being a sub-war player last year. So they've got, like, lots of really good stories up and down that lineup. And, of course, being managed by A.J. Hinch, who's who's one of the best in the game. So I think the Tigers will be formidable this year.
Adnan, when you look at the National League Central and the arms that are in that division, it's so much fun right now. Obviously, the Cubs still in first place, but you mentioned, you know, how hot the Rays have been. If you look back to May 25th, this Brewers team is 22-8, and Jacob Mizorowski earlier this week, man, seeing him go head-to-head with Paul Skeens, just how great he has been in his first three starts, the electricity you felt at American Family Field earlier this week. How real are the Brewers, in your opinion, right now? Is this just a hot stretch, or are they going to do what they did last year, which is defy some odds and ultimately win the division?
Yeah, I'm a little skeptical. I don't think they're good enough to challenge the Cubs. The Cubs have a better offense. Once their pitching gets healthy, notably they've got Imanaga back, I do think they win that division. But Milwaukee's probably better than I realized, Tim. I didn't think they'd be a playoff team, and they're right there in the midst of it. And you mentioned Mizorowski, who I did not know about until this season. And you see him pitch 6'7", 197. You go, my God, this guy's the new Paul Skeens, and he's unbelievable to watch. And Quinn Priester pitched yesterday. He was great for the Brewers. Freddie Peralta is obviously their ace. So they actually have better starting pitching than I realized. I really thought over the years they've lost too much in losing Woodruff and Burns. But other guys have supplemented. And then their offense, Bryce Terang's a 3-WAR player. Like, he's just a really good, solid player for that Brewers team. Yelich is back banging the ball the way he was when he was an MVP candidate. Rhys Hoskins is a good player, obviously the former Philly. So they've got lots of, like, BB-plus players. They don't hit for a ton of power, but they're a smart team. They play hard. You know, Pat Murphy seems to have figured things out as far as how to, you know, manufacture runs with that team. Because, again, they don't have an elite payroll. When you don't have an elite payroll, you can't go out and sign sluggers. You got to score runs in other ways. So they'll manufacture, they'll steal bases. Like I said, smart, tactical team. And, yeah, they could be second in that Central, which, again, will be a surprise because the Cardinals are really good defensively. They've had good starting pitching, the likes of Sonny Gray and Miles Michaelis. Arenado's unfortunately having a down season there. It really looks like age has caught to him. But, yeah, I got the Brewers right now as a playoff team. But it's tough. You've got the Padres, you've got the Giants in that mix, and then one of Phillies or Mets, whoever doesn't win the division.
Yeah, and, you know, the NL East, you know, from a gambling standpoint, I feel like we've been saying the same thing forever, which is since the Braves got off to that horrendous start where they went out west, Adnan, to start the year, and they started 0-7, it was like, all right, we're going to find a time to buy in on this Braves team. And every time you think you're going to buy in on them, they kind of fall down on their face, right? They win the first two games against the Mets. Then they drop the next two. They lose 13-0 on Friday night. They win last night. Strider takes the hill today. Look, this team is 38-44, Adnan. We've seen plenty of teams in recent years make a triumphant comeback. They've got the talent, but can they get out of this hole right now that they're certainly sitting in?
I don't see it, Tim. You know, I thought once Strider and Acuna came back, they'd be fine. They just kind of had to hold the fort till their stars come back. But it hasn't been the case. It's not Acuna's fault. He's one of the most electrifying players in baseball, former MVP. He's second in OPS since his return. Strider's been okay, a little bit up and down, but the really problem is their offense. So they just don't hit. Sean Murphy had a home run yesterday, his 10th home run. But overall, he's been a disappointment. Matt Olson's a good player, but not as good as Freddie Freeman, who they had there at first base. Ozzie Albies has like a 620 OPS. And that's terrible, considering the fact he's almost going to be a free agent after signing that very cost-friendly, team-friendly deal. Austin Riley's okay. Again, not great. Ozuna's been a good player for them. But that's about it. Like, their offense is really being carried by a couple of guys, and there's just way too many strikeouts. And I think they've kind of exposed themselves. Like, we thought they'd be this great team, and instead they really aren't. And on their pitching staff, Sale is tremendous, almost pitches a complete game. Then he gets hurt with that rib injury, and who knows how long he's going to be out. So if you had Sale and Schwellenbach and Strider, you'd feel good about things. Instead, Sale's out. Schwellenbach's good. Strider's not quite himself yet, and therefore you get a Braves team, as you said, is 8 games under 500. I don't see them catching the Phillies or the Mets in the division. As I mentioned, the wild cards to me are going to be one of Phillies or Mets, and then you've got Giants, Padres, Brewers. Like, it's going to be tough to break that logjam. I don't see Atlanta doing it.
No doubt about it. Hey, Adnan, always appreciate it, man. I know you're busy on Sunday, so we appreciate you carving out some time.
Of course, Tim. Always a pleasure, brother. Take care. Stay warm. Stay warm in Vegas. Stay cool in Vegas.
Yeah, I was going to say, we got plenty of warmth. There's no doubt about it. There he is, Adnan Virk. You can catch him later today on MLB Network. Always love catching up with Adnan. Yeah, the NL wildcard race will be fun to keep. We'll keep an eye on. Right now, the Mets a half game out of the first place of the Phillies, so they do have that top wild card spot. But as we have already hit the midway point of the MLB season, it is going to be certainly fun. We look at the NL West, how packed that is. And the NL Central, man, that has been a fun division if you remove the Pirates. And pretty much all they've got going is Paul Skeets. Hey, folks, just a reminder, start your day with an edge and a game plan. The VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast is your first look at the day's betting lines, sharp action, and market movement. In just 15 minutes, you get everything you need to know to start your day. Check it out wherever you get your podcasts, the VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast.